You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, a writer-reporter for the Tennessee Rival site, VolQuest.com, covering Tennessee football and Tennessee football recruiting. You can find me on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And remember, when we're done with Locked On Vols today, there's only one chance, or there's only one place to get all the information around the SEC 5 days a week that you need, and that is with the Locked On SEC podcast with host Chris Gordy of Sports 790. You can follow the Locked On SEC podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hope you guys had an excellent July 4th weekend and had a lot of fun with some family and with some friends. Going to get back into it here in the work week on a Tuesday and talk three different topics for Tennessee football today. First, from the Elite 11, Tennessee quarterback commit Taven Jackson has been off in California competing this week, or last week rather. We'll tell you how he fared and what some of the things were said about Taven Jackson in segment one. In segment two, The Athletic put out their final top 100 transfer rankings, and I know we heard a lot about how many people have left the Tennessee program. How about the star power coming in to the Tennessee program? Did any of those guys finalize on the top 100 for the transfer rankings for The Athletic? We'll tell you that here in just a moment, but how bad was the talent that left the program? It's pretty eye-popping. We'll recap that again. That'll come up in segment number two. And in segment number three, we continue on with list season. Athlon Sports put out their preseason FBS rankings. Where did Tennessee fall in? Where did Tennessee fall in terms of the SEC? Some strengths and some weaknesses, according to Athlon Sports. That is the show rundown here for a Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. So let's go ahead and start with the Elite 11 and quarterback Taven Jackson. Taven Jackson was a part of a group of about 20, 21 quarterbacks that went out and competed. And at the end of the workouts, there are the top 11 are ranked, and they are the 2021 Elite 11 class. So Taven Jackson did not finish in the top 11, but he was still there. He was still getting a workout and still meeting and getting coached and, you know, very much into the spotlight. So for The Athletic, you had Bruce Feldman, who kind of put out his biggest takeaways. And coming in at his sixth biggest takeaways was Tennessee quarterback Taven Jackson. Here is what Feldman had to say about Taven Jackson. Quote, "I know Tennessee fans have endured a lot with their program of late, but they have a keeper in quarterback commit Taven Jackson. 6'4", 190 pounds. He had a lot of good moments that I saw. Jackson has a quick release, excellent feet. He's a terrific all-around athlete and has a lot of presence about him. He's an outstanding basketball player and golfer as well. I liked how he talked to the coaches and the former NFL guys who worked the event. He seemed to have a lot of natural leadership qualities and charisma. I bet on this kid being really good for Tennessee and Josh Heupel." So that's some good praise there. Again, didn't figure into the actual Elite 11, but impressed coaches. And keep in mind, too, I mean, these quarterbacks are invited there for a reason. They're the best quarterback prospects in the country. I mean, all over the country. And just being there is a real good kind of an eye-opening experience. And it says a lot about you as in terms of a prospect and how you've been brought up coaching-wise and what your future projects here all on paper. Of course, we don't know anything until these guys, you know, get into games for their respective schools. But just to keep it in mind, Brian Maurer was an Elite 11 guy, I believe. Jerry Garantano was also an Elite 11 guy. You had Caden Salter, who's no longer with the program. He was an Elite 11 guy. I think Tennessee's had a string of about four consecutive here in the class, or at least here of late, I should say. So we'll have to see exactly how Taven Jackson projects. Of course, you know, Caden Salter, we never got to see it. Jerry Garantano wasn't as good as advertised, and Brian Maurer's had some highs and some lows. But, of course, all these quarterbacks go on, and they're going to be doing some fantastic stuff. Of course, in-state prospect who committed with Alabama, Ty Simpson, that's a name that puts fears in the heart of Tennessee fans already. I understand that, but he was there at the event. He impressed. You had Quinn Ewers, who is one of the top overall quarterback prospects in the country, an Ohio State commit. He was there and he showed out. So a lot of guys who were there and who did some good things. Again, Taven Jackson, he was Tennessee's fourth commit of the class of 2022. He verbally committed to Tennessee on April 28th, just a couple of months ago. He's a four-star rated dual-threat quarterback. Again, 6 foot five, about 190, somewhere around there. He is the fifth rated player at his position of being a dual-threat quarterback. He is the ninth rated player out of the state of Indiana. He has a 5.8 Rivals rating. He has over 34 offers, 35 offers, somewhere around there. But again, he is all Tennessee. He was actually in town here recently taking in all that was Knoxville on his official visit. With him was his teammates at Center Grove High School and Caden Curry. Caden Curry came down a couple weeks ago with Taven Jackson and took part in an unofficial visit. He was here for a Saturday, I believe, and had a lot of good things to say about Tennessee, about the coaching staff, and about the facilities and all that. He did not use one of his 5 official visits here with Tennessee, or at least to date, so we'll have to keep. I think this is, we'll have to keep an eye on all that, but I think this is an Ohio State, you know, race to lose. I think it's going to be all Ohio State, but still a chance because a teammate and camp partner and you know, co-captain, Taven Jackson, of course, is a Tennessee football commit. So we'll have to keep an eye on Caden Curry, who, again, is a four-star defensive end, 6'4", 250. He is ranked as the 31st player nationally, number 3 at his position, and number 1 in the state of Indiana. So wanted to give a little update there. But Taven Jackson, what can he be? How good can he be in this Tennessee offense? We'll have to see. I think that Harrison Bailey can be good in this offense. I think that, obviously, Joe Milton can be good in this offense. I think Hendon Hooker can be good in this offense. I think this offense would be perfect for Brian Maurer. All these quarterbacks, I mean, this is good with the exception of Hooker and Milton, but with Harrison and Maurer, they were not Josh Heupel's quarterbacks. They were not brought in by Josh Heupel. And again, that's pretty much the entire team here. That's how college football works when you have turnover. The new coach comes in. It takes them about 2 or 3 off seasons to start to get in all of his players. Pruitt never even made it that far. He still had some of Butch Jones recruits and prospects and signees still on the team. And there still are just a few who were signed by Butch Jones that are still here in Knoxville today. I mean, that's crazy when you take into account a COVID year, when you take into account red shirts and all that type of stuff. It's a little wild sometimes. But that doesn't mean that Harrison Bailey can't be good in this offense or Brian Maurer can't be good in this offense. I think if you ask pretty much anybody, I think Harrison Bailey is probably the presumed starter right now in terms of how he's handling himself. He had a really, really nice spring game, but there is no clear-cut starter whatsoever right now. It's wide open. But Harrison Bailey is going to have a very good chance to be the opening day starter. I think he has a very good chance. I think Joe Milton is going to be really good in this offense, but can Joe Milton get this offense down in the span of a month before, you know, the opener happens on September the 2nd. That's when, you know, fall camp starts the 1st of August. We'll have to see. But Taven Jackson is the first quarterback that Josh Heupel will bring into Tennessee. Josh Heupel, former quarterback himself, quarterback coach, has a certain, you know, checklist that he looks for quarterbacks. Can you process information in a fast manner? Can you make plays on your legs? Not necessarily dual threat in terms of running, but can you extend plays with your legs? Can you throw on the run? Are you accurate? All those things are what Josh Heupel looks for in a quarterback, and obviously those boxes were checked when he recruited heavily Taven Jackson, and ultimately when Taven Jackson went ahead and committed to Tennessee. So Taven Jackson, we'll have to see. I'm intrigued to see how he is in this offense. Of course, we won't get eyes on him until next spring when he comes into campus and next spring practice, but when you have your quarterback in the class, you build around that. And Tennessee got his quarterback early. It's not been the best class so far. It has a little bit of momentum here lately. Of course, Tennessee had 2 2022 commits last week in the span of 21 hours, along with Brandon Turnage, who was a former Alabama defensive back. He came in via the transfer portal. We'll talk more on the transfer portal here in a moment. But again, you know, Taven Jackson is what you build your class around. We'll have to see exactly how good this class can be. But nonetheless, that's a little bit from Taven Jackson at the Elite 11 event this past week, drawing a lot of praise from a lot of coaches, former NFL players who worked the event, and other players as well who were at that event. So that's good to see from Tennessee's four-star quarterback commit, Taven Jackson. All right, we'll move on and talk transfer portal rankings, the final ones for The Athletic. That's coming up in segment number 2, but first let me remind you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, the All-Star break is just next week, I believe. Atlanta Braves have 2 All-Star starters, plus Ozzie Albies, who probably should have been an all-star starter as well, but that'll be representing Atlanta, my favorite team, probably yours as well, at the Midsummer Classic. But you know, you want to get those future bets on the playoffs. You want to get those future props and bets on the All-Star game. You can do all that at Bet Online, as well as all the news and information you want on the NBA, the NHL, MMA. Got it all for you at Bet Online. So before the next pitch, head on over to Bet Online on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news. Sign up for the bonuses and the contest information. I don't want you to sit on the sideline anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as team preps for their runs throughout the playoffs. We're seeing that right now with the NBA Finals. So head to the website or on your mobile device right now. Sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. It's your online sportsbook experts. We continue on with a Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. A reminder, come July the 19th, we are back strong, going 5 days a week. So July the 19th, we embark back to 5 days a week as we get ready for a football season. But that's all here on Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Welcome back into it. Here in segment two, we're going to talk about the final transfer rankings, the top 100 for The Athletic. And I know some of you guys might be rolling your eyes and saying, okay, we know about everybody that's left at Tennessee. Who cares? Let's focus on the guys who are coming into Tennessee. I hear you. I mean, trust me, we're going to be talking about them ad nauseum, you know, from now until they leave Tennessee. That's what we do. That's what our job is. But you got to continue to talk about how this team is going to be shaped up. And in doing so, you have to, again, remember who has left the team talent-wise. And according to The Athletic's final rankings of transfer players, I mean, as you'd expect, Tennessee is all over it. There's been a little bit of movement. They put out one, like a top 50, I want to say a couple months ago, but obviously it's been updated. Tennessee is heavily represented in here, trust me, and not in the way you want to know. There was one incoming player who made the cut for players who are coming into Tennessee, and that would be at 91, quarterback Joe Milton. At 91, quarterback Joe Milton. He is the only incoming player via the transfer portal that made this list. So who all made the list? Well, let's go in reverse order, shall we? At 90 or at 84, Tennessee had Jameer Johnson going from Tennessee to Texas A&M. He'll likely be in a position to start on that offensive line this year for Jimbo Fisher. At 69, Kovaris Crouch going from Tennessee to Michigan State. You continue on. Karan Prutney, who never had a Tennessee tie. Well, he has a Tennessee tie, but was never a Volunteer at all, but very easily almost was a Volunteer when he elected South Carolina over Tennessee a couple weekends ago. But that's freshman All-American defensive back, cornerback Karan Prutney, who left Kansas to go to South Carolina. He checks in at 49. Key Lawrence going from Tennessee to Oklahoma, checking in at 48. And Key Lawrence didn't play a whole lot. Remember, it was a true freshman season in 2020. It was the year of the COVID. It was a camp that was unlike any camp that Tennessee or any other football programs ever had. A lot of time missing in practice. I remember Jeremy Pruitt kept on saying that they moved Key Lawrence around a lot because, I mean, he can play pretty much anything. He can play corner, inside corner, nickel. He can play safety. He can play every position back there. But Tennessee kept moving him around a little bit because of players that were out, and finally they put him at one spot at corner and just was just going to let him play there. And he got on the field a couple of weeks or a couple of games there towards the end of the season, but we never really got to see how Key Lawrence could have transitioned into a full-time starting role. I think that Key Lawrence, potentially outside of Henry Tuotuo, might be the biggest loss for Tennessee because I think he's going to be that good. But Key Lawrence, he'll now be he'll technically still be a freshman because of that COVID year, but coming up on his true sophomore season for Oklahoma now, leaving Tennessee, going to Oklahoma, he comes in at number 48. At number 47, Wanya Morris, another Vol turned Sooner. Wanya Morris, Tennessee to Oklahoma. Of course, he started 17 games here over his first 2 years at Tennessee. The only reason he didn't start game one against, or 2020 against South Carolina, was because he missed 28 straight days, or maybe not straight, but he missed 28 days of fall camp. And he was not ready, but he had to come in and play because Jameer Johnson got hurt in that game, if you remember. But Wanya Morris has been pretty much a mainstay at left tackle for Tennessee for the past two seasons. Never really transitioned and grew and developed like he should have this early on, but again, he's got half of his college career left. He's got three more years of eligibility, so he could still turn in and be a really, really good player. But even though he never grew and was everything we thought he would be here at Tennessee, still a really good player. I mean, 6'5", 3'13", 3'15", you know, repping on the left side. He's a Hoss, and Tennessee will surely miss him. So Wanya Morris coming in at 47. A pair of Vols turned Sooners checking in at 47 and 48. You continue on. Tennessee has a lot more up here at the top of the list. Checking in at number 15, a guy that I think we often forget about, but one Tennessee will desperately miss. At 15, going from Tennessee to Miami, is DeAndre Johnson. Tennessee's only semblance of a pass rush the past couple seasons has been DeAndre Johnson. I think that he's got a lot of potential. I think he has got a lot of tools in the chamber, but he was never consistent. He was never as consistent as you want him to be, and he got stupid penalties all the time. I mean, he got kicked out of the Georgia game, didn't he, for coming down and hitting the guy in the head. But nonetheless, or he got penalized in that game, I can't remember. DeAndre Johnson, one of the starting four linebackers for Tennessee that began the 2020 season, that are here no more, and we'll see more about that here in a moment. But DeAndre Johnson, going from Tennessee to Miami, checks in at number 15 in the Athletic's Top 100 Transfer Rankings. At number 13, another guy I think we're not talking about a lot because, again, it's a guy that kind of got overshadowed by another guy that we'll talk about in a moment. But number 13, going from Tennessee to North Carolina, Ty Chandler. Ty Chandler, he graduated from the University of Tennessee. In normal years, he would be done. His eligibility would be done. But Ty Chandler looking to take advantage of the COVID year, go somewhere else, and maybe try to improve his stock to get to the NFL. Ty Chandler is one of Tennessee's, I think he's, okay, so I've got this note right here. In terms of all-purpose yards, Ty Chandler leads Tennessee at 3,291. That's fifth in school history. He had 17 touchdowns in four seasons with Tennessee, and I think he's going to be a really, really good fit for North Carolina. But Ty Chandler was the guy coming in out of Middle Tennessee, one of the top prize gets. He played a lot as a freshman and sophomore, and then he still played a lot as a junior and senior, but also had to share that backfield with Eric Gray. But that is Ty Chandler at number 13. You continue to go on in these rankings here. Go all the way up to number 2. Number 2. And that is where you will find... I talked about DeAndre Johnson, talked about Ty Chandler. Sorry. Okay, back on track. At number 2, that is where you will find Henry Tuotuo. Easily Tennessee's best player on the field. Easily Tennessee's top defender, best linebacker. Never took that jump that I thought he would from freshman to sophomore year. I think a lot of it has to do with unusual practice schedules, no spring practice, the changing of the linebacker position coach, all that type of stuff. But still, Henry Tuotuo was a tremendous, tremendous talent. And going from Tennessee to Alabama, how will he be remembered? We talked about this a lot when he made the decision public and how fans would react to Henry T, business decision, or was it basically a slap in the face? But Henry T is going to be starting linebacker for Alabama this year, all right? And he's a good one. I mean, he is a great, tremendous talent. He wanted to go to the NFL. He wanted to increase his stock, and he's going to get that at Alabama. But make no exception about it. I mean, it's going to hurt Tennessee very, very much not to have Henry Tuotuo. So Henry Tuotuo comes in at number 2 on the list. Coming in at number 1, well, if it's not Henry T, it's going to be Eric Gray. Eric Gray is going to be amazing in Lincoln Riley's system over at Oklahoma. I truly, truly do believe that. They've got Kennedy Brooks coming back, who opted out in 2020 but had two 1,000-yard seasons before then. You pair that with a 5-star prospect coming in and Eric Gray. I know Oklahoma's kind of the modern-day quarterback U here of late, but they got a lot of good running backs in that room there for this year, and Eric Gray could very easily lead that group. He had a really nice spring. He shined in the spring game, and we'll have to see exactly how much of an impact he'll have for Oklahoma. I do believe that is going to be a big one. So let's review. You had Eric Gray at 1. You had Henry T at number 2. You had Ty Chandler at 13. You had DeAndre Johnson at 15. You had Wanya Morris at 47. You had Key Lawrence at 48. And you had, DeAndre Johnson somewhere in there. DeAndre Johnson at 46. Jameer Johnson, excuse me. You had Jameer Johnson in there at 46 as well. And you had Kovaris Crouch at 69. Tennessee's incoming players from the portal. The only one that registers here on the Athletic's Top 100 Transfer Final Rankings is Joe Milton at number 91. Tennessee's still getting a lot of guys through the transfer portal. Joe Milton, of course, as just mentioned, Juwan Mitchell, Javonte Payton, Caleb Tremblay, Deshaun Terry. You've now got Brandon Turnage. Tennessee's getting some talent in there as well. Don't hear me wrong, but the talent that left the program, It's going to be tough to replace, and that's going to be one of the many hurdles Josh Heupel is going to have to try to overcome here in year number one at Tennessee. Coming up in segment number three, Athlon Sports does their FBS preseason rankings. Where does Tennessee fall? Where does Tennessee fall in terms of the SEC? I'll tell you that here coming up in segment number three, but not before I remind you guys about Built Bar. So right now, available this week, July 6th through the 9th, you can get a brand new Built Bar flavor. It's called the Grasshopper Cookie. What's it taste like? This is Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint Cookie. So you hear that? The Grasshopper Cookie is Built Bar's version of Thin Mint Cookie. All the flavor without the sugar. 150 calories, 17 grams of proteins, only 5 grams of sugar. So this week only, July 6th through the 9th, you can order at BuiltBar.com the Grasshopper Cookie. So take advantage of it now. All right, so 9 delicious flavors. We talk about the limited time flavors like this week, Grasshopper Cookie. You can check them all out. It's easy to find out which one is your favorite, which ones are your favorites, and you can do that by ordering a mix box whenever you order. So when you go order the Grasshopper Cookie, go ahead and order a mix box as well and try some of these delicious flavors. It is a beautiful, awesome protein bar that tastes and looks like a candy bar, 100% chocolate. It's perfect for that health-conscious guy or gal. And get a load of this, guys. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. I'm going to say that again. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's awesome. All right, so go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. I want you to try the Grasshopper Cookie, okay? It's the Thin Mint version for Built Bar. So Grasshopper Cookie, try it out today, this week, the 6th through the 9th of July, and take advantage of buying others at a discounted rate. BuiltBar.com, that's BuiltBar.com. We got a final edition of a Tuesday, Locked On Vols. You're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Kane. And here in segment three, we're going to discuss Athlon Sports preseason rankings of every FBS team. Where does Tennessee fall in? Well, 56. Again, keep in mind, out of 131 or so, yeah. But Tennessee checks in at 56. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, 130. Okay, so Tennessee checks in at 56 in these rankings. So is that too high, too low, or just about right? That's just about right towards the end of the Power 5 slate, and that's, you know, kind of expected just considering where Tennessee is right now. But it comes in 12th in the SEC. You had South Carolina and Vanderbilt that had poor rankings, but Tennessee comes in at 56. And according to the description put out by Athlon Sports, this is what it says about Tennessee. New coach Josh Heupel hopes 2021 is the first step to getting Tennessee back on track. The Volunteers have depth concerns at a few positions, but also enough talent to get to a bowl. Offensive strength. Heupel's track record on the side of the football should be positive momentum and should provide optimism for the Volunteers, who average only 21.5 points per game. There are options at quarterback and good skill players, along with two building blocks on the offensive line, Cade Mays and Darnell Wright. Those are the strengths for the offense, according to Athlon Sports. Offensive concern, how fast can Tennessee adapt to the new system? Can a quarterback quickly emerge? Who is the answer? And the offensive line, who allowed 29 sacks in 2020, must improve. Defensive strength. There may not be a dominant player up front, but the line has good depth and overall talent. The frontline starters are good in the secondary, and the transfer portal provided instant help. Defensive concerns. Depth is a concern at linebacker. No duh. And in the secondary. The overall performance has to improve after giving up over 30 points a game and struggling against the pass, as Tennessee was 11th in the SEC. So Athlon's kind of painting a picture of what we talk about in this podcast all the time. All right, so the frontline starters in the secondary are pretty good. No depth whatsoever at linebacker. And I will disagree a little bit. Yes, there's a lot of veterans who have played, but how good is that group up front? Because we haven't seen that group play very well in, you know, over a season and a half. And two of the key contributors who were there when Tennessee last played pretty good defensive line, Greg Emerson and Darrell Middleton, they're both gone now. But also there's been a ton of coaching turnover, and, you know, that group was kind of neglected here the last couple of years. So you got to look and see if Rodney Garner can get as much as he can out of that group that still has a lot of guys who will return. Jaquan Blakely, Matthew Butler, Aubrey Solomon still on the roster. And then some newcomer, Deshaun Terry. Of course, Amari Thomas, who was here last year. You've got Caleb Tremblay, who will be trying to make an impact. So there are still some names up there, but we'll have to see. But 56, that's probably about right. Again, 12th in the SEC, right in front of South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Those are two wins ahead of Tennessee having on their SEC schedule this year. We'll have to see exactly about that. But, you know, what are your thoughts on where Tennessee is? For clarification, you have on the schedule for Tennessee, according to Athlon, Alabama's the top team. Georgia's at number 5. Texas A&M is at 6. Florida is at number 11, and that's just on the SEC front. So it's going to be challenging, no doubt. And but we knew this coming in. The SEC is already tough, but Tennessee's again just right at the ground floor, trying to restart, trying to riddle its wrongs. It was a season of 3-7 last year with the best talent on your roster, as we talked about in segment number 2, leaving and going elsewhere. So it's going to be a tremendous uphill climb. But as I've said the entire time, if Tennessee can find a quarterback and it clicks in this offense, I know that's easier said than done. Trust me. I mean, we've seen the quarterback play the last couple of years here. It's been awful. But if you can find a quarterback to click with Josh Heupel's scheme, you will be able to mask an awful lot of the inefficiencies of the team. Remember back in 2012, Tennessee, historically one of the worst defensive teams in program history. But that offense was so much fun. You won some games. You won some games 41-38. You barely beat Troy that year. You barely beat a lot of teams that you should have been beating. You should have been hammering because you couldn't stop anybody. But I'm not saying the offense will be that explosive or that good, because it will not be, in my opinion. But if you're able to outscore some teams, if you're able to put some pressure on some teams and hang in these games as long as you can, I mean, every now and again, the defense will come up and the defense will get a crucial interception, cause a big-time fumble. Whenever a team is knocking on the red zone door, make a big time third down or fourth down stop. Those things will come as long as you are hanging around in those ball games and not getting blown out. I mean, to be completely honest, the story of Jeremy Pruitt's tenure here at Tennessee was blowout losses. Tennessee was blown out so much during that 3-year run, and you were never really in ball games. So we'll have to see exactly how good this team is. Obviously, fall camp's coming up. You got to find your quarterback. It's going to be a wide open battle. You've got to create some depth. I think Tennessee did figure some things out in the transfer portal to add some depth. Secondary depth was big. Depth at cornerback was big. You've got depth up front in the offensive line and the defensive line. At linebacker, you got to find some guys who can play. You're very, very thin at linebacker, but we knew that. Wide receivers, inexperienced, like the group. Running back, inexperienced, like the group. It all comes back down to that quarterback play, and we'll have to see exactly what it is, who it is, and if it changes from one game to the next. If you're a Tennessee fan, you hope that it does not, because if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. That's kind of the saying that I like to go by. All right, guys, welcome back into the work week. Again, I hope you guys had an awesome, awesome 4th of July weekend, celebrating with your family and friends, and celebrating this great country. I hope you guys stayed safe and enjoyed yourselves. Back into the work week, we'll have episodes of Locked On Vols again right now with this one, tomorrow on Wednesday, and another one on Friday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday this week of Locked On Vols. And now that we are closing things out here for today, we got the Locked On Today podcast available. The Milwaukee Bucks stepped up without Giannis to win that series over the Hawks. What an awesome run it was. You can get more of the sports news you need in less time. More on the Bucks, more on the NBA Finals coming up with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday coming up on tomorrow's show. Looking forward to getting into more Tennessee football content, all that and more here on Locked On Vols. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.